We're in 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. And Peter begins chapter 4 with, therefore, drawing a conclusion. Therefore, since Christ suffered, arm ourselves with the same mind. Oftentimes, at altar calls, a preacher or evangelist will talk about how if you just give your life over to the Lord, everything will be easy chairs, Coke and popcorn, and everything will be mild and good. And Peter says, prepare yourself to suffer. A difference. We're to arm ourselves, means we are to prepare ourselves to suffer, because we're contrary to the world. Last week, we looked at a few of the why me's. Why am I this way? Why am I that way? Why have you given me these traits, Lord? Have you ever wondered why were you born in this time frame and in the place you were born in? Most of us born in America, land of opportunity, land of wealth. We have some here who were born in Mexico, in Peru, others, Germany. We have a new Germany pension. And some of us, a few of the not so blessed, were born in California. And you have my sympathies. I lived there 36 years. But anyway, but we have a fellowship of different places. A few weeks back, I began to ask everybody, did you ever live in California? And so for how long? And most of you answered yes. You were familiar with California. And many of us have those West Coast ties. Paul the Apostle spoke of himself in his early years. He was a man born out of time and out of place. He felt like he had missed his opportunity to be a disciple or something. But Paul came to realize God's plans for him were under God's control. Me? I was born in Central Alabama. Yep, I was. But I lived in California a lot of years, and I met my West Coast wife in California, Seattle born. Now, Lori does the best she can. She really does. But understand, she's from Seattle. An extremely liberal place. Now I have her out on a little farm in Tennessee. Bless her heart. And know that I said bless her heart, I can now say anything I please about her. And it's all right. But we've had a few friends visit us from California. And honestly, some were surprised that we still wore shoes in Alabama. But recently, maybe you've seen it in the news, Huntsville has been selected as one of the best places in America to live. So we're blessed to live here in Huntsville area, except for the heat and humidity. We have that. But we are right in the center of the Bible Belt of America. We could be the buckle. We could be the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. And there are many churches around us with steeples. We don't have a steeple. And we're in the midst of conservative thought and politics. Well, we're conservative compared to other areas. But as Alabamians, we enjoy our southern customs, and culture. And as Christians, enjoy our fellowship with the Lord and Savior and enjoy one another. And so having said this, we'll read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and see what it has to say to us. 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And Paul says, or Peter says this, amen, right in the middle of the chapter. Peter, he's been inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he says that they lived at that time in the last days, and that was 2,000 years ago. But he says, having lived in these last days, be serious in our prayers and watchful. And we are to know today, the end of all things is at hand. And we read and hear end times messages all over the place. So what is our response to end times messages? It's to be watchful, and it's to be seriously in prayer. Many of us, self-included, have stopped watching evening news. I do not trust the news media. One of the things I loved about Donald Trump, he attacked the news media. But to stay abreast of today's news, you have to find alternative ways of staying current, if you will. And not only be aware of the news, but be serious in prayer for your family and the body of believers that we associate with. But we're also called to be praying for officials, elected officials, and those in authority over us. Back to our previous elections. When Donald Trump ran against Hillary Clinton, I was surprised that Donald Trump won. So this encouraged me. And I began to pray about the next election, and Trump was defeated. Shows you my prayers, but anyway. We are to be seriously in prayer and watchful. In my last presidential election that I participated in California, I was totally and completely out of step with the voters in California. I did not vote for one winning candidate, not one, or proposition for it, as that goes. And that was back in the early 90s. California has many conservative candidates and people and good Christian folks, but they're in a minority there. And today, here in the Bible Belt of the South, I can find myself out of step with the current administration and the government officials over us. But this should encourage me to pray, be seriously in prayer, and to be watchful. And Peter continues, above all, have a fervent love for one another. And why would Peter say that? For love will cover a multitude of sins. So look around you. Be hospitable to one another. No grumbling. Because if you look around you, you're going to spend eternity with some of these folks right here. That's a long time. And we're admonished to love one another and prefer fellow Christians. We're to prefer one another. Now, I consider myself sort of a friendly fellow, but most of all, I want to be known as a follower of Jesus, one who is known as a believer in our Lord. And I can find myself being friendly with fellow believers because there's a common ground there. We share a common belief. You know what the Lord's been showing me lately? That I need to be a hilarious giver. Hilarious giver? We all are wealthy, most of us beyond our imaginations. And we have all received spiritual gifts. And we're to be a good steward of those spiritual gifts for the benefit of others. But you know, if I'm left to myself, I can be cautious and I can be a frugal giver, not a hilarious giver. And that goes double for the church monies. I watch the church monies probably tighter than I watch my own personal monies. But you know, Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, he also carried the money bag for the disciples. And we read that he would often steal from the money bag. Now, did Jesus know that Judas stole from the money bag? Of course he knew. He knew. But it was a side issue, did you? In ministry, we are to be a giver of gifts that the Lord has given us. We're to be positive. We're to be giving of what the Lord has given us. And I try to be encouraging in my conversation. I want to bring joy to others, not condemnation. Goodness, there's enough condemnation going on within the Christian church, but let us be an encourager. And I have a platform, this little pulpit. I get to speak to you people. And every now and then I'll let somebody else, but not often. But I want to be a light in a dark world because of the light of Jesus Christ. And I want my words to glorify the Lord. And I want my words to encourage you folks, you people. And we all need encouragement. We have way too many naysayers in the Christian world. So I ask the Lord, allow me to be an encouragement. Let me be positive in my attitude and in my love towards one another. Now, we have to realize that none of us have ever argued or forced another person into God's kingdom. So why do we differ over things that divide us? I can find myself being way too legalistic at times. And we tend to listen to negative naysayers. So what's the solution? Above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Now, hear this about loving one another. The sins of the giver of love and the ones being loved both benefit from love. You edify the person and it does you good to love. A few years back, we had a father who attended here, and he was a very strict disciplinarian, to the point that his children were afraid of him. And I had a conversation with this father, and I said, man, it'd be good for you to show a little love and grace to your children and forgive them, not always being that hard disciplinarian. And my conversation was to no avail, come to find out, he was listening to his wife, who was honestly, and I don't say this lightly, mentally deceived. She had a problem. She was sort of psycho. And he would punish his children after listening to his wife. He ended up having his wife mentally evaluated, and she was placed on severe medication. But the sad situation about all this, the kids, the little kids, paid for mom and dad's imbalance mentally. This couple with their children moved out of the area, and I come to find out that their marriage ended in a divorce. But I couldn't help but think, if a little love and grace would have been shown and demonstrated, perhaps that family would still be together. I firmly believe love would have benefited the husband, the wife, and the kids in that family. So what is love? We've all heard of tough love. Love is doing the best for someone else, other than yourself, with no consideration of the cost that it cost you. Cost does not enter into when you love one another. Recently in the news, there was a young man who came out of a years-on coma. For years, he had been in a coma, and he awoke. And they asked him, well, what did he remember about all this time that he was in a coma? And he says, I remember my dad, who would sit and talk to me and express how much he loved me and how he prayed for me. That was the only memory he had of years in a coma, was that his dad loved him. Now, we Christians have the greatest demonstration of love ever shown to man, and that's John 3:16. You don't know a lot of verses to memorize? John 3:16 is a good one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God the Father was compelled by love to give us his Son as our sacrifice. It was not only compelled of the Father, but it was a fitting way for God to redeem mankind. It was so appropriate. It was a well-thought-out plan, our salvation, that Jesus would be sin for us, suffer, die, that we could have eternal life. Now, we speak of eternal life, and we have it not ending and so forth, but to a Jew, eternal life has a little bit of different meaning. It's to have a high quality of everlasting life. Not just living on, but a high quality of life. And we Christians are called to a higher calling than those of the world. For the world loves those who love them back. But we're called to love those who hate us and who spitefully use us. It is a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit when we realize that he is working in our lives to love those who hate us. That's a sign of being a good Christian. And we are told by Peter, be in serious prayer, be watchful, and be faithful for the others who perhaps do not believe. Be watchful, be serious. and allow God's Spirit to change us in those that we also pray for. You might be the only person that's praying for that sinful person in your life. You could be the only one. I sometimes think that Lori has a bunch of believers and a bunch of unbelievers in her family, and I sometimes think we're the only ones who pray for the unbelievers. And if that's the case, we want to be serious in our prayers, for we love them, and we don't want to see them miss out on heaven. We don't want to see them, quote unquote, go to hell. Hell's real. We don't want to see that. So allow the Holy Spirit to use you in administering spiritual gifts. Amen? Amen. But let's close with prayer. Father God, help us to be a Christian who is serious about praying for others, for one another, for the unsaved, for the saved, for family. Let us be conscientiously praying and expecting you to move and show yourself strong on behalf of those who maybe don't know you yet, Lord. Lord, we want others, we want our family, we want our loved ones to come to a saving knowledge of you, Jesus. We don't want to be looking around and finding them apart from you. So, Lord, be Savior, be God, be glorified in the lives of those we pray for. And may we pray, Lord, for those with faith, knowing that you hear us and knowing that you will answer our prayers. So give us that mark of faith that we need to be praying for the unsaved and for the lost. And we ask for this in your name, Jesus. Amen.